are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
with your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. I hope you're going to have a great day today. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it must be done, it has to get done, you will get it done. That's why we love you. We appreciate you. You always persevere. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. At the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. We appreciate that. Yep, unfortunately couldn't broadcast these Friday and Monday, and didn't get a chance to have Brother Kwaku put a program in, and so, but we're back, and we're ready to go. We're ready to do our thing, you know, because we're all part of this program to elevate the minds of our people. That's what this program is about, working on the African mind. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times for the lineup that we have here on on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs, broken out of Philadelphia with Jahad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Itaki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. I saw Brother Jamoke in Tulsa. It was good to see him. Good to see Brother Jamoke. He is living in Florida. Right on. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. The Black Farmers Report is on Wednesday from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Shane. Excuse me, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with your host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. I saw a commercial for We Buy Black recently, and I loved it. It just showed some comparisons of what you can buy from other stores and what you can buy from our stores, of course, and from We Buy Black. And the products are there, and they're there for us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans with Brother Bomani Tahimba. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani is still in Ghana. He's been there since May 24th, and he'll be back on Friday.
June 5th. Other tours he has upcoming, Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th. And then Ghana, December 24th through January 5th, 2022. That's to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia in 2022. Presently, all the trips are $3,700. $3,700. And you drop down $3,700 and you too can go to Africa for a trip of a lifetime. At Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see photos, go to facebook.com/Bomani. Brothers and sisters, you too can go to a trip of a lifetime. Africa for the Africans. Baba Rinoco Rashidi. He has another webinar coming up. And of course, this Friday, June 25th, and then from 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 9:30 Eastern Time, and then Saturday morning, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., African Star Over Europe. And this webinar, African Star Over Europe, on Friday the 6th, will talk about the African presence in Europe. And of course, he has two trips upcoming. He has one, and that is July 18th through August 3rd. July 18th through August 3rd with Professor Small and Dr. Lynn Jeffries in Ghana, an educational tour to Ghana. And then he'll be leaving there, going right over to Kemet from July 31st to August 13th. He'll be in Kemet. Those, I believe, are $4,200. But go online. Check out drrinoco.com, drrinoco.com. If you want to email him, rinoco@hotmail.com, rinoco@hotmail.com. Or give him a call at 323-803-8663, 323-803-8663. Habashaw, Habashaw Incorporated, Habashaw. HabashawIncorporated.com. They are doing the work, brothers and sisters. They have been doing the work. HabashawIncorporated.com. And they have the programs, their mission. And, of course, they are a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. And, of course, they have a repatriation initiative going on. So when you go to HabashawIncorporated.org, you can learn more about that repatriation initiative, learning how to get back home. Some of the programs they have is Habashaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project on the Continent. The Kashi Project on the Continent. When you go to the website, HabashawIncorporated.org, you will see pictures of things that are already happening on the continent through their efforts. HabashawIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. LEDGE Group. Of course, once again, they have a raffle for a safari in Tanzania, a Tanzanian safari. Go to the LEDGE Group. That safari is worth $15,000. So go to theledgegroup.com, theledgegroup.com, and learn more about it. Of course, LEDGE deals with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 programs, 12 projects in six different countries, and over 170 employed and over 260 members. But you also need to be a member of the LEDGE Group. In fact, if you are a member of the LEDGE Group, you have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania at $250 an acre. That's right. That's right, making your repatriation to the motherland real. All right, theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. Bibi Atumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. BibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, BibiAtumi.com is, to me, the place that you need to go and make it a favorite and go there often. Their Saturday seminar series, this Saturday at 1 o'clock, at 1 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, our time. The power is in a Pan-African name. The power is in a Pan-African name. Names are important to African people of the continent and the diaspora. Traditionally, one's name is seen as playing a critical role in the fulfillment, or lack thereof, of one's life purpose. However, due to enslavement and neo-enslavement and in the diaspora, as well as colonialism and neo-colonialism on the continent, many African people now give their children the names of their enslavers or colonizers, their colonial enemies. So this is that this Saturday. And of course, there are more programs on bibiatumi.com, all kinds of stuff. Good. You can shop, news feed, events. This is the events category, crowdfunding, all those things. Bibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. BibiAtumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Friday and Saturdays from 1 to 7. The Shrine is open on Fridays and Saturdays here from 1 to 7. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, I visited her before I went on my trip to, and I apologized to her. She wanted me to bring back, man, some dirt and some rocks from that hollow ground. I had the opportunity to do so, but I forgot. So I must apologize to Mama Nia. Or I can find a way to do that and still fulfill that. I will try to do that. That's what I'm going to do. Because, you know, you want to be a man of your word. You know? That's what you want to be. You always want to be a man of your word. And so Mama Nia's bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore in Lithonia. That is east of here. My good brother Kazimde Ajamu, he has a delicious coffee bar now, serving that Cameroon boil. Love it. Give brother Ajamu a call, and if he doesn't have the book that you request, he'll get it, and same with Mama Nia. So give him a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. You know, there is light in the black dot. That's right. There is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. It's every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10. From 9 p.m. to 10. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. If you want to call just to listen, you can do so, or call to give questions, comments, or concerns. Dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give our good sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sister Gabriella Aurelia, doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, working with children. Go to the website sanje-haiti.org and see for yourself the great work that she's doing. She has sent me so many pictures over the times. Sanje, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanje-haiti.org. Ackerman Institute. Baba Baruti and Mama Yabaruti. Let me go to that particular page because I believe they have some good information on that particular page for us, the Barutis. Let me see if it's here. No, it is not. It is here. Yes, it is. All right. Of course, they have the conference this Saturday, Affirming African Love. The Complementarity Conference is from 4 to 8. You have breakout sessions and lectures and collective discussions. That is this Saturday, Akabin Institute's 7th Annual Complementarity Conference, Affirming African Love. And what you need to do, of course, is to make your donation, your $10 donation, via PayPal account. That is Yaa Baruti at Yahoo. Yaa Baruti at Yahoo. Include the pertinent information, of course, which is the name of the conference, which is Complementarity Conference, your name, and the email address where they can send a streaming link so you can be a part of this Saturday's program. Also, too, Akabin Institute Summer School Program. We are offering a six-week 2021 program beginning June 7th and ending July 16th. It is open to students from 4th through the 12th grade. Class options, Mama Yaa, Language Arts and Math Tutoring, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. One-on-one sessions must be scheduled in advance if you want that. And then Baba Mwalimu Baruti, Our Story, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then chess, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 12. All kind of good stuff. Contact the Barutis at 404-753-7237 or email at Mwalimu, M-W-A-L-I-M-U, Mwalimu, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at Yahoo. Find out more about that. Yeah. And also, too, coming up in July 3rd, An Equation for Reparations with Baba Mwalimu Baruti. An Equation for Reparations. And that's, once again, it's $15 for adult and $20 for family. And that is July 3rd. Make your donation. Include the pertinent information in Equation for Reparations, your name and your email address, so you can extend the information. Okay, let me see what I got here. Okay, let me read this gratitude from Baba Baruti, and I know I feel it because I've been doing things with them for many years. And I respect them highly. Before I get to the Inye Sasim, we have had a lot of love and assistance along the difficult visionary nation building road. There has been too much support in many ways by too many warriors, from those in training to the well seasoned, to even begin to think about trying to name you all. In fact, we only stand as a credible part of a global community at work for African people and sovereignty because of you. And while we as a people could do better, much better, in the face of those who say that we do not support our own, you reflect that one nation-building mind held by many who are intent on holding up what holds us up. In material and non-material forms, your tithes and offerings have been of the most revolutionary nature. You have made it possible for us to continue doing this work. It is an honor beyond words and measures to be cared for in this way by warriors who have so many other critical and necessary obligations and duties. We are grateful for the sacrifices which did not have to be made. And we need each other, every one of you, to know that we're
that we're having nothing, that we have nothing for you but African love. The Burundis, I say, love them. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Of course, I missed a number of days. Last time I was on was last Wednesday, which is a week. And I'm going to try to go back and get some of those priceless Enye Sesim days, because the quote as well as the narrative is outstanding, as you know. June 1st, just like roaches, hit the light, you see them scattering. An anonymous. We are witnessing the desperate fighting of remaining weak kings and queens for a name on the front line. These are dispossessed individuals whose whole claim to fame is built on slander, innuendo, rumor, and groundless fabrications. It is a rise based on pulling down those who earnestly work for the people in order to gain a name for themselves, as evident by the fact that they themselves have built nothing of worth for us. I have said little which does not begin with the words of those they seek allies against and who rely wholly on the needless and gullibility of their following to raise armies to promote and enforce an endless divisiveness amongst African people. COINTELPRO could not have done better. Much like the envious outcast Yorugu systematically sought out in our communities to finance and arm against us during the earliest phases of the Maafa, they have no vision, at least no African one, and only seek individual fame and fortune and to create discord and feed off of it. Wars must become the opposite of these individuals as models of nation builders for African people. Their efforts must go into concrete beneficial action, not deceptive eloquence which pretends power in the face of grotesque, unstoppable destroyers. Wars must return and remember that there is advantages and advantageous reasons why the strong still silent. The strong, silent type has been our historically revered in our community, especially during times of war. Right now, brothers and sisters, we need the strong, silent type. Affirm, I shine the light on all liars, thieves, and murderers. Affirm, I shine the light on all liars, murderers, and thieves. June 2nd, it is a well-established principle of law that every wrong has a remedy. Ida B. Wells. We have come to expect Yorugu and those who look like us but serve them, along with our other enemies, to attempt to disrespect us. For most of us, this is angering, even bewildering. It leaves them further damaged, impotent, and without an effective corrective plan or action. Strangely enough, though, for some of us, their blatant attempts at disrespecting us carries a reinforcing value. That's right. It gives power to our righteous rage and a conscious, fully politicized state of mind, which always has an effective direction and means of expression. Otherwise, it is only reactive, uncalculating anger. And even though that some of us had long concluded that forgiveness could not have been remotely possible, even if Yorugu had ceased their aggression centuries ago, the physical and psychological violence they continued to commit against our people, a violence which is genetically premeditated, which feeds their childish God-envying anger and arrogance, rationalizes their ill-gotten gains and blusters their psychopathological racist genocidal dreams, only adds to the conviction that karma, by our worst hands, is indispensable and inevitable. Either that or Ma'at is wrong. And Ma'at is not wrong, family. If that some of us know nothing else, we know that all of our enemies and the generations they spawn will individually pay, and their collective payment will be just. Affirm, I am the remedy for the Ma'afa. Affirm, I am the remedy for the Ma'afa. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Ashe. I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to talk about a preview of what I experienced this past weekend in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And hopefully some people will call in and or some of you will just ask questions and so forth. But before I do that, I just caught a piece that Dr. Kwamenan Ashanti, Baba Kwamenan Ashanti made his transition. You know, we've talked about Baba Ashanti on this program a couple of times in the past because he was the author of the Willie Lynch letter. He was the author of the Willie Lynch letter. And I know that many years ago, we passed that out like it was true. Like some man named Willie Lynch went into the Caribbean and told those people how he could and how you could train your captives and make them respect and own and love only you. Now, understand, he wrote it, and it's hard for some of us to believe that it wrote because we believe that it was true because what we've seen as it evolved had some truth to it. You know, how we behaved, how we acted had some truth to it. But the fact there was no man named Willie Lynch and of course we believe too that the word lynching, you know, and Lynchburg came out of Willie Lynch. You know, I don't put anything past the society to make a claim of stuff, but it was not true. It was not true. So we didn't have a Willie Lynch mentality or a Willie Lynch chip, as one book had it. What was it, erasing your Willie Lynch chip or something like that? But there's no doubt about it. We have a mindset that is weakened, a belief that somehow we need to disregard our history, our culture, our language, our traditions, our names, and try our best to take what the European gives us, take the crumbs off the table that the European has, and just be thankful to such degree that we were glad that the European enslaved us, captured us, and did what he did to us. Because some of us believe that it was, you know, that Africa is so backward and we should be glad and thankful that we're here in America. Yes, they took our names, our tradition, our culture, our language, our religion, all of those things. But we're here in America. And many people around the world want to be in America. One person I know that will help me out in this discussion is every Tuesday night is Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on this station every Tuesday night, and that's at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 to 9 Central. And that is Dr. William Rogers, my good friend. I miss him here in Atlanta. He's now still in Milwaukee. Good morning, Doc Rogers.
Oh, Tap, my dear brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you been?
Man, let me say this right up front, man. You don't know, because a lot of times we don't get a chance to say it to everybody. You don't know how much I appreciate what you are doing for our people, what you have been doing for our people, and even the possibility of giving me this chance to come on the Time for Awakening Network to do a program. It was because of you that I was able to do that.
And I thank you. I thank you, Doc.
If I never had to say to you, I appreciate you, brother. I love you for that.
The feeling, and you know, was deeply mutual. It always has been since the day that we met, man. And all our working together back in Milwaukee, establishing organizations.
All the way back in the day.
That's right. Yep. That's for sure, Doc Rogers. That's for sure. Yeah. So we're going to talk about Dr. Kwamenan Ashanti because it's what's interesting. You knew the brother.
I went to school. We graduated from high school together.
Wow.
We went to New York together to the first summer after high school to try to get a job.
Wow.
You know, after summer, you go around, you either go to Atlantic City or you go to up in the Pocono Mountains or up there and work for them white folks, you know, during the summer.
Right, during the summer. Yep, yep. Caddying and cleaning up stuff, yeah.
Yep, Dr. Shanti and I and a group of others from my hometown went up there. Yeah, so I know Dr. Shanti real good.
Yeah. So he wrote this, and I remember many people, you know, passing it out. You know, we would talk and have discussions as if it was actual and factual. Yep. You know, all the way up to the time I'd seen a YouTube piece where a brother said, I'm talking with, you know, and obviously now it's Dr. Shanti, in a bookstore. I can't remember exactly. I knew it was East Coast. In a bookstore, he
Black
said,
and Nobel.
I'm sorry, Doc?
Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel book in Philadelphia.
Oh, in Philadelphia. Yes. And he said, here's the man who wrote the Willie Lynch letter. And I was just glued. I was, and everything that he was saying, I was like, okay, I see that. Yeah. You know, because I think, as I said earlier, Doc, that when we look at ourselves and our history here, what he was saying in that so-called Willie Lynch letter, you know, there's a lot of parallels. There's a lot of validity.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
many of our people took that as being factual, and that somehow we could erase the Willie Lynch chip, you know, of divisiveness, because obviously it was divide and conquer. It was praising light skin over dark skin. It was giving more power to men, or no, to women as opposed to men, a demasculation piece that they did with that as well. So, I mean, you know, what he was saying in that was, had a lot of, you know, a validity in terms of how we are acting and behaving in this situation that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so,
right.
And so when they found out it was not true, and I know my good friend, Brother Franklin Jones, has been saying that on his program when he was on here for many years. Yeah. How, no, that we don't, there is no Willie Lynch letter. But the behavior, though, Doc, is real.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's exactly right. The reason that, because last night we did a tribute to him as well, and we had a couple of his our other classmates to come on, and we kind of talked about our years in high school. But what we talked about is Durham. We were all from Durham, North Carolina, which E. Franklin Frazier, in his book The Black Bourgeois, called Durham the capital of that mess. No,
of all black bourgeoisie. Durham was the capital of black bourgeoisie? Oh, really?
He said Durham was the capital.
Okay.
And that's a reason why. And I know this is not what we're talking about. I just kind of laid the groundwork. Durham is the home of Duke University and the Dukes, the Duke family.
The Duke family. Mm-hmm.
Family were paternalistic.
Okay.
They were paternal. And they wanted to make Durham a model of how we can handle our Negroes.
Mm.
Wasn't like Tulsa did end of it, and there was some Caucasian help in there, but basically though it was done independently. Durham, however, was set up in almost like a test model to show that even though we can segregate our Negroes, and yet but they can still be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pilot program.
That's just like Tulsa, except for the fact. That Tulsa had oil, and many of our people had oil, that was the money.
Dr. Shanti talked about that in some of his lectures that he had done before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what I saw as the value of what he did in the Willie Lynch letter was, and when it all came out, I called him. He and I were on the phone one day because he was going to be the keynote speaker for one of our class reunions. And so I had called him to talk to him and congratulate him for that and said I was going to try to make it, but if I didn't, I just wanted to let him know. So, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about a trip to Africa he was getting ready to plan, and he would definitely love for me to come and be a part of it. And so I told him I did. Mm-hmm. I would do that and look at the possibility of that happening. But anyway, I talked to him about it. I said, so that was you? He said, that was me, man. That was me. Mm. And what he did, this is what he did to make time, cut time short. That was a book written years ago. You know it too, by C.L.R. James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Covens.
Yeah.
And he read that book.
Say the name of the book again, because your mic went out or something happened. I didn't get the I know it's the Black Jacobins, but go ahead and say it, please.
The Black Jacobins, by C.L.R. James. And that book was obviously, you know, about the coming together to fight the Haitian Revolution. But it was also about the horror of slavery and what slavery had done to our people. And he said he was thinking of a way that he could tell that story to our people. Because Dr. Asante was a psychologist. He was he had a PhD in psychology, and he was doing psychotherapy clinical work at the University of Pittsburgh. And what he was doing was he was trying to create a mind process of deprogramming people. That was his dissertation, to how to deprogram from stuff. And so there were techniques and things that you can do clinically. This was a clinical thing, medical stuff, to get that done. So he tried to figure out, how can I do this to help in the process of slavery? Mm-hmm. And so he had remembered a book that he said he also read back in the, right in the beginning of the 60s, called The Man Who Cried, I Am. The Man Who Cried, I Am. And his name was John Williams, the author. What he did in that book is he wrote it about a writer in Harlem, back during the Harlem Renaissance. And actually, it was a fictional story about Richard Wright. And what he did was he wrote something called A King Alfred Plan.
Oh.
Which was a fictional document that was created by John Williams. And it outlined that this was a government document that had gotten into the community's hands, and showing that the CIA, the FBI, so that Hoover was on the rise then, against Black America, and that they were going to put us in
concentration camps.
And they were going to lock us up and do all kind of stuff, you know, when the riots broke out, because the riots were going on at that time.
Right, in the 60s, yes.
And then he put that in the book, The Man Who Cried, I Am. But what he did is he copied it. He photocopied just the King Alfred Plan that was in his book, went out through Harlem, putting the document out with no name. He put it in the subways. He put it on some of the main subway lines where you get a lot of Black folk traveling, and just laid it around. In 3 months, the town was up in storm about this document that the FBI, even CBS and ABC and all of them were saying, there's a document that emerged from the State Department that, you know, there's a King Alfred, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. It all came from John Williams.
Wow.
And it was a fictional book.
And see,
said, you know what, I'm going to use that model and do the Willie Lynch lift.
Right on. Okay, so that's how Dr. Asante got that. Because even at that, I thought the King Alfred Plan and the McCarran Act, both of those things were things that were initiated by the government, because it sounds real. Because what it's saying is that when you start rioting, you know, I'm a isolate your community. Cut everything
That's
off.
Right.
Cut off all electricity. Cut off all gas. Cut off everything, and isolate you, and then come
That's
and vamp on you. You have, you know, we have all the equipment, all the armament to then come and vamp on you. So, you know,
that's what John Williams did in that book.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fictional. It was a fictional piece. It wasn't real, because he didn't have records. He didn't have access to the FBI records. You know, so he couldn't have got that like that. But he said the mind, when you see that and it looks like it's a mystery, we work better off of mysteries. If he were to put his name on the Willie Lynch letter and said that he wrote it, people would not have taken it in
true.
The way they did it.
No doubt. When you, because like I said, everybody who are disseminating. I remember one sister particularly who was disseminating back at the time in the late 70s and 80s, particularly. Right. In the 80s, she was disseminating that at we got to community meetings and so forth. And she stated that, you know, this is what has happened to us, you know. And and so many other people thought that actually happened to us, that a man named Willie Lynch came into the Caribbean. I think it was Barbados, you know.
Right.
And he said, I know how that you can, you know, keep your property in order and in line and get the most work out of them and keep them loyal to you, you know, by doing this. And in fact, one of the things was, if you do this, he said, if you do this, it'll be 200 some years, you know, that you will have, you know, them in that kind of mental, physical captivity over 200 years from that particular point, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But
I remember we did that. We did one of those at our ASCAC meeting. You remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. We went to, but the whole idea, and this is where the brilliance comes in, and where his psychological training comes in. He said that when the mind thinks that it has found something secret, you take it on a different way than you would if I just hand you a book and said, read that.
Mm.
It would not have had the same impact.
Right.
Into the community or out into the system of ideas if you hadn't done it that way. So that is a tactic that was powerful. That was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't quit. And when people started complaining it ain't real and this and that, he didn't respond.
Right.
All he did was kept collecting the documents.
Right.
That he would see, the various comments that he would note. He said he kept a record of it. He said he's got a record. And I pray that his wife saves that. She's still living.
Okay.
And she saves those and will definitely share that with some very important institution that won't run it.
Right. Because really,
what was going on?
Because I would hope that, you know, that somebody would take that, because a lot of information I'm quite sure was coming in about this concept and how it actually, how we're actually behaving mirrors that what is being stated, you know.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Because you know it's true. You know it was true.
You know.
I remember the white scholars who were seeing it. I used to read these reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And the white scholars were looking at it and said, that ain't true. There ain't nobody like that. You know, and they were saying stuff. I don't know where that came from, you know, things like that.
Well,
but he did it very simple. Willie Lynch, he said he got the name from Lynchburg, Virginia. Because Lynchburg, Virginia was a hardcore slaveholding city area. And Virginia is a hardcore state of slavery.
That's right.
That was Virginia and the one where you live now.
Mm-hmm.
They were hard slaveholding statesmen.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's where he said he got the name Lynch.
Yeah.
He didn't come from no lynching, but that's where lynching started and all that stuff. He took me when he talked about that. He said he came from Lynchburg, Virginia. That's where he got the name from.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other interviews you can let your audience that's on that where they actually are talking to him about it.
Is it on YouTube?
I know the Black Nobel is one, but you can't hardly hear it.
Okay. What about on YouTube? Does he have anything on YouTube if you go to Dr. Ashanti or Willie Lynch Letter? Because I seen the interview by this young brother at the bookstore with him. You know.
Yeah, but you can't hardly hear that too good.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lecture though, he does it. There's a lecture that's on YouTube where he's talking himself at the lecture.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, he was part of the American Association of Black Psychologists. A lot of them knew, but they didn't talk about it either. They just wanted folks to read the letter.
Right. Because
and study it. And they did.
Because the idea is that once you understand what has happened to you, then you do the counter to erase that. You do the counter
That's
to eliminate
exactly
that.
Right.
Your mindset is different. Your practices are different. But of course, we didn't. And we kept.
And you know what, Ocean? It's time for a new really Lynch letter somewhere from somebody.
Yeah,
like
wake
that.
Us up. Yeah, you know.
Because black folk ain't woke up yet.
No, not from that malaise, not from that
You're
mindset.
Working.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like I said, I just got back from Tulsa, Oklahoma for the commemoration of the 100-year massacre. I don't ever use the word race massacre. It was a massacre, period. You know, because it was not a riot. You know, it was not a fight back. It was a massacre. You know, you had, you know, hundreds of Caucasians who vamped on the prosperous community of Tulsa and the Greenwood community of Tulsa. You know, and I'm going to talk about that and review that after the break. You know, and if you obviously, Doc, truly good. Welcome to hang around and listen and add to the conversation. You know that. You know.
Yeah, I will. I'll come back in. Yeah, I'll come in. Definitely will. But let me take this one more point. And see, if we don't do that, OSHA, 100 years from now, some historian is going to pop up and say, that ain't really happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just a fictional thing to get white people started. It was a political ploy and all of that. They do that all the time.
They
pop up and say, oh, that ain't mm-hmm. not like the one they got out there talking about there weren't no slave ships.
You're right. Oh, yeah, that's something that ADOS was pushing. Not necessarily ADOS.
Yeah.
There was another group that were pushing there with no slave ship, that we have been here. In fact, that took on a whole different weird perspective, because they said in that we were taken from here. We were taken from here and sent to Europe and then came back as slaves. I'm like, damn, that don't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
It really doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, what
will happen?
Go ahead.
Our enemy will pay to have that kind of study done.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll allow some student to come to a university and do a dissertation on it.
Mm-hmm.
And try to put it out there as fact. That's the way history works.
Yeah. I tell you,
that's why we can't let that happen.
I tell you, you have a system that Europeans have created, you know, that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And as a perpetuates individualism, you think more individually, and that's not us. That's them. That's the individualism.
Right.
Individualism is a European, Caucasian, white desire.
Right.
All the time. In fact, I was just listening to a piece earlier on critical race theory. On critical race theory.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and it's
one Caucasian who says that because of his fighting critical race theory, he's got states, and of course, you know, there are states who have put laws out against teaching critical race theory or even the 1619 Project. You got the Trump who perpetuated the 1776 curriculum of the great founding fathers and so forth.
Oh,
you know,
you want to throw up.
Yeah, I swear it do, you know. And so, you know, this, and I was listening to him, and his whole thing was, we're individuals, you know.
Yeah.
But the reality is that European, Caucasians, white folks have imposed their culture on the world. They've imposed their, when they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, what they were doing was, they didn't come to bargain. They didn't come to trade. They didn't come to barter. They didn't come to do nothing. They came to take. They came to take.
Yes.
You know, I got.
Did you, I'm sure you saw that piece, Exterminate All the Brutes.
You know, I have. I talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, good.
I've watched
good.
It many times. I think it's an excellent piece. All our listeners and everybody should go to HBO. If you got streaming, you'll be able to watch all four episodes like I have. There's an hour long each episode, you know.
That's classic.
Outstanding. And the fact is, Raoul Peck lived that. He lived that. He was born in Haiti.
Yeah.
So he seen Papa Doc and Baby Doc and then later Aristide.
Yeah, he saw them do that.
Yes.
That's right.
He
That's
lived
right.
in the Congo. He lived in what was former Zaire. He lived in Germany. So he's seen
That's
these
exactly
things happen,
right.
man, you know.
He saw that.
Yeah.
You know, he did that James Baldwin piece, Not Your Negro.
Right.
Yeah, he did that.
I watched that. And he did one on Lumumba. In the Congo.
Oh, really? Okay,
yes,
that's
he
right,
did.
That's right. The movie. He actually did the movie on Lumumba, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to definitely check that out. But Raoul Peck, who does the narration in Exterminate All the Brutes, because he connected with this, the author of Exterminate All the Brutes, Sven Lundquist or something like that, who had passed. He had a book titled Exterminate All the Brutes. He also had a countryman.
Yeah, he wrote that book. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
He also had a countryman that he connected with as well. I can't remember his brother's name, but he had, but his book title was Silencing the Past.
I bought that.
Yeah, because that's what these Caucasians are trying to do right now is silence the past. And they're trying to silence the past, even in Tulsa. And then the other one was the Caucasian lady who wrote the book, An Indigenous People's View of the United States.
Yes.
Which is very critical.
I didn't read that one yet. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean,
because, you know, what they did at Wounded Knee and all that stuff, you know, that was crazy. That was a massacre.
You know, what he constantly showed is that all these so-called treaties that these Caucasians entered into were not worth the paper they were wrote on, because once the ink they broke the thing even before the ink dried. That's how evil these people are, you know.
Right.
And so when you talk about critical race theory, you got to talk about these things, and that's what they don't want to talk about.
No, because, they won't.
No,
they don't.
Because they can't handle the truth.
Because you know what, too, Ocean, you have got to ask the question: what nature a beast could do this?
That's right.
You
got to ask that question. How can a people be so inhumane?
How can a human being do this?
Yeah. And
and the answer won't come back nice.
That's right. Well, Doc, you hang around. I'm going to take a break.
I'm going to come back on. I got to run off for a minute, but I'm going to come back because I want to hear you talk about that Tulsa thing.
All right, my brother. Thanks a lot, Doc Rogers.
Okay.
That's Dr. William Rogers, whose program is Black Reality Think Tank, and that's on every Tuesday night. And other programs that Doc Rogers deals with are the ones on Saturday. Sankofa Elders Council, which is from 7 to 9 on Saturday Eastern Time, and Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on TimeForAnAwakening.com, and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Hancock, the traitor. Yeah, Herbie Hancock. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 11 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, of course, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, this program. But then on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then that's followed by from 9 p.m. to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, The Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. on Fridays. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. I want to right now thank a brother who listens to this program and contributes. And I really, and I know I've sent information out to thank him, but I want to thank him over the air sincerely. And that's Brother Lusk, Brother Theodore Lusk out of Montgomery, Alabama. Brother Lusk, are you there?
Yes, I am. Do you hear me?
I sure can, dear brother. I can hear you loud and clear.
Very
literally. But hey, man. Thank you for all the things that you have done, the information that you've constantly sent. I sent that ceremony. There was a memorial ceremony on that hallowed ground in Tulsa yesterday morning, and I watched it. It's about an hour and a half long, you know, and it's really beautiful. The brother who in white, that's Brother Chief Ugumawali, who I've talked to and know, and I know his brother's a firefighter in Tulsa, and that's who helped us get around, because myself and some other black firefighters, we were in Tulsa, and really appreciate that very much. And also, too, on that link that you sent, there's another three-hour program. Then this is the program that has various other conversations and panels and so forth. So if I sent it to you, please send it to others. You know, and if I didn't send it to you, you want it, please contact me. You can email me at OSHI427, A as in Apple, D as in Dog, E as in Edward. That's OSHI427ADE@gmail.com. You send it to me, and I'll send you back that information. So thank you so much, Brother Lusk. I can't wait to see you, man, and break bread with you in Montgomery, you know, and go to the museum and to the memorial there that has been the Justice Initiative in Montgomery, brother. I can't wait. Brother Lusk, are you still there?
Did you hear me?
No, I did not hear
Hello?
You.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Brother Osh, it's always a pleasure to be of service. I know we haven't physically met. This is the interesting part about all of this. I kind of wish I had you and Dr. Rogers and Dr. Bridges and the several others. We're all in a room, some conference room area with a big library, with hot water for tea, coffee, maybe a chess set somewhere, and just sitting down in each other's presence.
That's right, brother.
And it's because of the fact that I don't have this kind and type of stimulation right here every day, right?
Right.
And you would have that. One should have that. We should not have to say, make statements like, well, it's not in our books.
Right.
Sure, it's not in our books if you're not the publisher.
That's right.
But there are things that can be done. I think of the authors of days of old when they created pamphlets like J.A. Rogers,
right?
And several others. And I say, okay, well, what does it take to do something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of doing your homework, doing your research, putting pen to paper, and start writing. But you want to be accurate in doing this. You want to be truthful when you do this. And so as part of that narrative, you know, we can make sure that the kind and type of information is disseminated. And so people can learn from this. So you don't have to really, as a matter of fact, wait till you get to a barbershop.
That's right.
Once a week or once every other week.
That's
right.
Right.
There's a meeting place where we all can sit and talk. Is Dr. Rogers still with us?
No, he'll be back on though. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because I had a chance to look into more of Dr. Ashanti's personality and also his works and things of that nature. And so I'm waiting for the archivist from North Carolina Central to give me a call back so we can sit down and talk about his work to see if there's anything in their library that I could get my hands on so I could be able to help educate others as well.
Right
but,
on,
yeah.
Brother. Right on, Brother Lust. That's why I really appreciate you, man. You take the time to do the work. You have a great insight and a love for us as a people, and I appreciate that, man. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you contributing, and I look forward to, you know, very, very soon, brother. Like I said, break bread.
Very good.
You know, all
very
right.
Good.
All right, Brother Theodore Lusk, man. Thank you so much, man.
All righty. Thank you, Brother Oshie.
Yeah, I tell you, I saw that. I was like, man, right on. There's another piece that I'm going to play dealing with the Tulsa Massacre. It was produced by Mr. Triple Double himself, Russell Westbrook. You know, I have a lot of love for Russell Westbrook. I really do. You know, I have a lot of love for him. And it's unfortunate that, you know, he will probably never win a championship, but he must be considered one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA because of what he has done, particularly in the last number of years. You know, when you best a man like Oscar Robertson, you know, when you're spoken of in that particular kind of company, you're dynamite, you know. And so Russell Westbrook produced this particular piece that aired, I believe, on the History Channel. But there's a preview here, and please, please allow me, because I'm going to play it. I'm going to stop it and tell you who's talking, you know, so you can get a good idea. Because, you know, you can't see it, of course. So I'm going to say to you who's making this particular comments and so forth as we go through this. But let me hurry up and get Brother Jay. Good afternoon, Brother Jay.
So, what's happening, ODOs? How was your trip, brother?
Everything was good. Everything was good, brother. Everything. Has Queen Mother, and you should know her, Queen Mother Blakely, in New York.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know she was still living.
Yeah. Yes. She was there. In fact, the brother from New York, the other firefighter who I room with, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, who has a program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, every Friday on Blog Talk, my dear friend, who's also a past president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as I am, we roomed together, and he pointed it out. He was shocked to see her, you know, because she was a lieutenant of Queen Mother Moore. Queen Mother Moore was a lieutenant of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. There's that connection, and so, yeah. She was there.
Yeah, she gotta be she got to be around 90 some years
old. Well, she's in the 80s, I believe. I believe she's high 80s, I believe. But yes, you're right. And very sharp, Brother Jay. Very sharp, man. Very.
Yeah.
And she said everything is a divine order. Mm-hmm.
I remember her from back in the days at
Jay, you're breaking up on me, Jay. I couldn't understand you.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
I remember her from back in the day, 80s, 90s, with Dr. Ben, mm-hmm. Dr. Clark, James Smalls, Jeffries, and all of them. She was like the queen mother then.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it was an honor
I'm surprised she's still alive. It's a beautiful thing to know that. But yeah, she was as insightful as they come, and just a beautiful African queen, elder, and all of that. Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that. So now, did you get a chance to go to a lot of the real commencements and not the dog and pony show commencement?
Well. There was so much, and I tried to put myself in a position to hear and listen and talk to and network with my dear sister, Nana Abantu, Mama Nabantu. She was there. The brother who I mentioned, Brother Infateyo, Brother Jamoke, within Cobra, he was there. So a number of good people that were there, and hopefully I'll get a share their experience with us as well. But I'm going to play a piece, brothers.
Now, let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
In any of the programs that you was at, did you see No Neck Martin?
No, of course I've seen it. Of course I've seen his
ass. Okay.
Perpetuate.
So
out there.
Was at,
yeah.
at the events that
oh, yeah.
he was at?
Yeah. He's out there in African.
So I'll give the fools some of the some legitimacy with his African wearing ass.
Yeah, yeah, he was in African attire at some of the events,
How you gonna be an African pushing that AKA sorority fraternity bullshit?
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean. That makes me so sick. I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? Come on, that ain't even your culture. How you gonna try and express culture and then forward fake culture?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. I wish one of the elders would smack him around over that.
Well, you
that
know, I know. I've never, nor have I. Only have an associate's degree. I only been in college a couple of years, so I never, and that was a community kind of thing. So that's neither here nor there, but I would never have done that. But the deal is, if I would have done that, I would have tried to make it African-centered. Instead of branding on the sign of the Omega or the sign of the Alpha or whatever, I would have branded on an Ankh. I would have branded on a pyramid.
Hey, man.
You know, I would have branded on a Tekken. You know, it is what it is. But let me get through this and hang on with me, Jay, okay? Let me get through this.
Hey, listen, yes, check this out. I got a what you call them, man. I got you to put me back on because I got to ask you a real serious question that has to do with this hotel. Matter of fact, I'll answer it to you right quick.
Okay.
I heard that the brother that started all of this with the white woman, right? The white woman in the elevator operator who accused him of assaulting
her. She didn't accuse him of
whatever.
Anything. She didn't accuse him of anything.
Listen, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Okay. But check this out. From what I heard, when it was all said and done, them two ran off to California and had babies.
Well, let me say this. I'm not sure exactly of that, but there is definitely the idea or the rumor or the notion that they knew each other. They knew each other beyond just friends, and the fact that she would not testify against him, she would not form a complaint or anything against him. It was an accident because she was the elevator operator. And, of course, elevator operators at that time, they pull the rope and so forth. And sometimes you just can't get it flush like operators today.
Right.
So he tripped, reached out, which is a natural thing. grabbed her, tore something on her dress or something on her blouse or whatever, and she screamed. Another Caucasian heard it and seen what he seen and thought that he seen that he was trying to molest her or rape her, and he ran out, understanding the dynamic, you know. And then they put him in jail. They arrest him, put him in jail. And, of course, the crackers, excuse me, and, of course, these they wanted to kill him. They wanted to lynch him. And the brothers who had just returned from World War One, they had their weapons. They even said to the sheriff,
I know.
You know all these things. And so the bottom line is that has been stated. I heard that as well. In fact,
okay, just put me on mute and continue.
All
and
right.
We'll try to reconnect later in the show.
All right. Hotep. Yeah. Because, I mean, I went to a few things. There was a panel discussion with Attorney Crump and Attorney Lee Merritt and talking about, you know, the dynamics and so forth. And, of course, Tiffany Crutcher, Dr. Crutcher, her father was murdered by the Tulsa Police Department and no resolve yet, you know. But beautiful sister. Beautiful sister. And of course, if you've seen that commemoration, she is pretty much is she is the moderator. She's the host, rather, you know, Tiffany Crutcher. And then Tiffany Cross. What is Tiffany Cross? Is she with MSNBC? I'm not sure. But anyway, she was the moderator of reparations and the attorney for the survivors. There's three survivors that they presented. One sister is 107 years old, so she was 7 years old when the situation happened. Very sharp. Mother Fletcher, and I'm quite sure you probably have seen her. And the other one was Mother Bailey. She's 106. And Mother Fletcher's brother, he is 100 years old. So he was a baby the time the situation happened, you know. And so I seen they're on stage, their attorney for the survivors, him, Sheila Jackson Lee, of course, who took over the push for H.R. 40. He took over for the push for H.R. 40 that John Conyers kept trying to initiate, which, of course, still nothing has been done, although to say they have went beyond just a study for the effects of our captivities beyond that. We'll see. And then the other one was Cori Bush. She is the congressperson from the St. Louis area, from Missouri. And then there were two others, the short brother with Color of Change, and there was another sister. You know, I don't know. I thought that the panel was kind of weak. Caller 469, go ahead.
Brother Oshie.
Yes.
Kevin Prince.
Hey, my brother. How are you, man? How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm well. I just want to thank you once again, man.
Brother.
For being there in Tulsa, you know, and helping out and providing and, oh, man, for real, brother. I really appreciate it. And
it was special, man. I mean, really, to be honest with you, I really wasn't that thrilled about it at first. But as it went on and, you know, so many people coming here, I had a great time.
Yeah.
And let me just say this, Brother Ocean, and for the people who's listening out here, our people are good people.
I say.
You put us in an environment where we by ourselves and we don't have any outside interference. Yeah. And man, we have a beautiful, I mean, it was beautiful.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I agree.
It was beautiful to see all of those people together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you had all kind of people. I had an opportunity to speak with the relatives of some of the relatives of J.B. Stratford.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was a big-time developer, Brother J.B. Stratford. In fact, he had the hotel.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was probably the richest person there.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, one of his John Rogers Aerial Investment, he's the CEO. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Mm-mm.
But he's one of JB's descendants.
Mm-hmm.
Brother by the name of John Rogers Aerial Investment.
Wow.
So, I mean, we had a really, really, really good conversation. And let me also, you know, I actually wanted to interview them.
Mm-hmm.
But I told them, you know, basically I'm independent. I don't make money in it. I just put it out, right, you know, where people can see it. But I did find out something that's very, very, very interesting. All of these movies and so forth that you begin to see about black people and all of that, I've always scratched my head as to why are they showing all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But what it is they told me one of the reasons why they didn't allow me to interview is that they're saying that these people are going around here making money off of that. You know, they come to them sometimes and they may ask them, but then they'll just come out and just make these movies based on their ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't make a dime on it. I'll say this, and then I'm going to get off the line. There's a brother here, the lead attorney for the case, DeMario,
right,
Solomon Simmons.
Right.
He's a sharp brother. They did a broadcast. It was at the Greenwood Cultural Center, and they spoke out about the lawsuit that they're bringing against
mm-hmm.
the city of Tulsa. And I'm going to see. I know Roland Martin has part of it on his podcast. I'm going to see if I can get the whole thing, and I'll send it to you.
Please do. Please do. I know I attended, you know, I didn't attend it fully, but I attended part of Attorney Crump and Lee Merritt's on police brutality, murder, and so forth. And then the other part I attended was Tiffany Cross moderating the reparations, which, of course, Attorney Simmons was part of that panel, along with Sheila Jackson Lee and Cori Bush, Congresswoman Cori Bush, you know.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Cori Bush was here. I would have liked to have met her.
Yeah.
Because she replaced Lacey Clay. Mm-hmm. And they finally got that bum out of there. You know, he's
yeah.
I have to say this, and then I'll let you go. You know, at the 1033 program, you familiar with that?
No. 1033?
Well, let me explain.
1033 program?
The audience needs to understand what that is. That is a program, they transfer military equipment to these local law enforcement agencies. And so when you remember Ferguson, when he was there and mm-hmm. he was talking about, well, these tanks and all of this stuff shouldn't be here and blah, blah, blah. Well, he and most of the people from the Congressional Black Caucus supported that program.
Mm-hmm.
It's the transference of military grade equipment to local law enforcement agencies.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why he lost, because Cori Bush, she was on the scene, front and center in Ferguson.
Right.
And
that's
they
right.
got him out of that. So, right. Anyway, let me get on off the phone.
Oh, man.
Hey, brother, was good meeting you, girl.
Yes, you too.
Man.
You too, man. Pleasure.
All right, then. Hey, take care now.
Peace. Yeah, it was good. Good meeting. It's a lot of time it's great to, you know, to meet some of the people that do call in and contribute to this program. I'm gonna do another review Friday, because a lot of this information I want to make sure you get, and I'm up against time because this 20 minute piece I got, I want to play that. This is Russell Westbrook's from his documentary, you know, Tulsa Burning, and there were other good documentaries as well that if you didn't watch basketball, like I sacrificed. But no, I wanted the information. I wanted to see what CNN presented. I wanted to see what MSNBC presented. I wanted to see what others had presented. And so this piece that Russell Westbrook, that was on the History Channel, outstanding. And there's a piece, about 20 minutes of it, with various people. One was Chief Ugamawale, who was on this program when I first went to Tulsa last year in January. And who's very instrumental in making sure that the survivors you know, because I know there's an issue and why the concert with John Legend and Stacey Abrams did not jump off, you know, because there's a brother who's a friend of mine who's a former firefighter who is now the Oklahoma state senator from the Tulsa area. And so there was a lot of things that happened in that. And so I want to do justice to that situation and be more factual. So I'm going to have a part two of this preview. Mama Nabantu, she was there. I want to get her perspective. Good afternoon, Mama Nabantu.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead, dear.
Yeah, there's a lot of corruption, I understood, that has been going down with all this money that was raised. And I understand that, I think it's Kaiser or something, insurance or something, supposed to be taking care of those survivors for all that they need. And that $30 million that was raised, now this is one story I've heard. Don't know how factual it is that for whatever money that they get they're begging to get some of that $30 million. And out of that $30 million, whatever they get 35% of it. So they're pushing hard because they want additional funds. So it's sort of, I'm not sure what's going on, but from the people I've been around, the folks who live there said there's just a lot of corruption that's going on, and that the fact that they really didn't get what they would do. But I don't know what the Kaiser Insurance is doing. From what I understand, they're supposed to be taken care of, and that folks are trying to get more money.
Yeah.
But overall, it was, you know, the experience I had there was a painful, historical experience. I took over 250 photos.
Wow.
From all the museums that I was able to go to.
Wow.
So I passed it along, and I'm doing some interviews tomorrow and on Saturday, just to share the information that we received. And I was there at the reparations session that they had with Lee and Sister Bush.
Right. I was there as well. Yeah.
I was looking for you. I didn't see you, but
I was in the back.
Okay. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much that was going on, like you said, all at once, you know, and I tried to get to as much as I could.
Right.
One thing I didn't like about Biden, understand, said before he went in there into the culture center to speak, I think somebody asked him, was he for reparations? He said, no, I'm not for reparations.
Right.
And then when I listened to his speech, he didn't mention reparations not one time.
Right.
And after going to that panel discussion, you know, that they put on, and they made it very clear. And then what the Panthers did as well, I don't know, were you there at the concert where the Black Panthers spoke?
No.
Oh, man. They were basically threatening these folks. If you don't give us reparations, you know.
We're going to tear this mother down, huh? Yeah.
Yes. So it's on right now. You know, I think, you know, he said the Black Panther brother, I think his last name is Shabazz.
Malik Zulu Shabazz, the leader of the new Black Panther, he was there? Because I heard that he was there. I did not see him. I saw the Black Panthers. In fact, Queen Mother that I mentioned from New York, she took pictures with the Black Panthers. In fact, the brother I was with, the brother from New York, former firefighter, he went up to the brother who had the bullhorn, who was kind of leading it, and told him, do you know who you have here in the presence? And he thought... I mean, he misheard because he thought the sister was working with Marcus Garvey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No. But he told, he explained to him, no, she worked with Queen Mother Moore, who worked with Marcus Garvey, you know, and she stated that herself, you know. But yeah, I saw them. And of course, what they were saying, from my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that no weapons were displayed or could be carried anywhere within a radius of the Greenwood District and the Greenwood Cultural Center, as well as across the street at the field where they had the Legacy Fest. There no weapons at all could be carried.
They had their weapons in the parade. We took pictures with them. I was with my daughter's boyfriend is into antique car.
Right, shows. That's right. They had an antique car show going on. In fact, I saw you pull up in that yellow wagon.
I was a part of that. Mm-hmm. He had the yellow wagon. He had, I can't name the cars. He had three cars that he exhibited there at the parade. You know, I went to that. It was a lot.
And I'm going to try to, you know, so that's why I'm going to have another program Friday discussing this, because I need that kind of time.
To sit behind the survivors and talk to the grandson of Viola Ford Fletcher.
Okay.
And I was able to get his number because we're still trying to trace. My family has the same last name as the two that were there, Van Hugh Ellis and Viola Ford Fletcher. Their mother was named Lucinda Ellis, and that's my grandfather's name. And he was in the area during the time of president of the NAACP. And so just trying to do some research to find out why he was representing, what he was representing, Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, as he was going back and forth to D.C. So I'm still doing the research. But anyway, he's going to help me see if there is some connection with our family, as well as the brother that was passing out the black calendars. Did you get one of those?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I talked with him. I got his number. He said he will also do some work to see if there's a connection.
Good.
So we're working on.
Good. Okay. All right, Mama Nabantu. You just hang on.
All right.
Anybody who wants to have conversation, you just hit star twice. Or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We talked earlier with Dr. Rogers about the transition, the passing of Dr. Ashanti, the brother who wrote the Willie Lynch letter that many of us believe was written by Willie Lynch. And now we're talking about the massacre, the Tulsa massacre. It wasn't a race. You know, number one, race is a fallacy in itself. There is no race. There's a human race of which we are the fathers and mothers of. So race, it was a massacre. It was Caucasians vamping on our community, as they have done so many times. I have talked about Elaine, Arkansas, Rosewood, so many, Colfax, the Devil's Punch Bowl in Natchez, Mississippi, all of these atrocities, all of these things that these people have done to us. And yet we still believe and have faith that somehow, some way they'll do what's right. Even when they talk about reparations, the repair of us. No, even the governor. Excuse me, not the governor, the mayor of Tulsa is not for reparations. He's for exhuming the bodies to find out if there were mass graves and to give those people a righteous burial, much like we did creating what is now called Memorial Day. We call it Decoration Day. We were the first ones to be thankful that the Union soldiers who were buried in mass graves, digging them up and giving them a proper burial and decorating their graves. We did that. And then, of course, the Europeans, the Caucasians, the white folks who run this country, they took it over. And they said that some general created Memorial Day. You know what? I don't give a damn whether the cats created Memorial Day or not. Because to me, understanding that history and it's real is still Decoration Day. Now, if you also know me, I don't have a lot of fervor about and hoopla about, Juneteenth, Decoration Day, none of that, you know, because we hope and pray that some way, somehow, the people who run this country, the people who dominate every damn thing, will somehow have an epiphany and understand what they have done to us, and now will be humane and open and honest and share equitably in the land and the resources that they have stolen on this property, on this, in this country. And hopefully the same thing will happen globally. Yeah, you're right, Brother Oshi. That's a pipe dream. That ain't gonna happen. That's why I'm staunch Pan-Africanist. I'm staunch cultural nationalist. I'm staunch. I'm unwavering. I'm uncompromising. There is no other alternative. That's why on this program we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. To me, there is no other discussion. That's why this program's motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Unify or die. But, you know, it was interesting. Yes, 334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshia. I just have one quick question before you go. I know you have a few minutes.
Sure.
You know, it's so very important on what's given in a name. I know that the brother Rowan, who was allegedly attacked the white woman, whoever that was,
right,
in that article, was somehow or another referred to as Diamond Dick Nolan,
right.
And so it's very important, especially what goes into a name, mm-hmm, and things associated with going into that name. I would have hoped that other information would have come out with, I thought I heard you say earlier about they eloped of somewhat and yes, ran off from Tulsa to California.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. One of my callers is living in Tulsa, and that is Kevin Prince, who listens and calls in and so forth. It was great to spend that time with him. He mentioned the fact that they knew each other, and allegedly that they, because there were no charges against him. He later left the, in fact, what Brother Chief Ukumawali said, that he wasn't even in the jail when the Europeans came to vamp on the jail. They had taken him out already. And supposedly they knew each other, and that he left Tulsa and went wherever, you know, because he knew that he would be killed. He knew that he would be lynched and you know, and probably castrated and stripped and, you know, whatever, all those things that they have done to our people, you know. So, yeah.
Right. But it's just one quick other comment that to see the hostility and the madness that had just stirred up and just got built up, and for that small event, because it's nothing, right? Here in Montgomery, Alabama, we had Jeremiah Reeves, okay? And so he was the first to go to the electric chair because of that kind and type of situation. And so, but for people to have all that built up inside of them, to literally wipe out a 35-block area of a city, it's you just never know what's on other people's right. minds.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, that what's on the minds of Europeans then and now, let's be real, is hatred towards us. You know, is hatred towards us and the denial of our humanity. When you see today, I just listened to a piece with Lamont Hill talking to this Caucasian who challenged critical race theory. And he challenged it arrogantly so well that they had these bills across the country that state unequivocally we will not teach critical race theory or the 1619 curriculum in our schools, you know, because as he stated, it is not true. It is trying to what we're doing. I don't want to call it critical race theory. I ain't calling it nothing but the truth. I ain't calling it nothing but the damn truth. And the problem with Caucasians is they can't handle the truth. That's what Robin DiAngelo found out when all those killings by the police, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, you know, Eric Gardner, all of them started happening. She was doing workshops with, just with Caucasians. Just with Caucasians. She was doing workshops, I guess in her point, trying to desensitize them, trying to help them understand what's happening. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it from her. They sure the hell don't want to hear it from us. In fact, if you understand the history, any time we made mention, like especially in the civil rights era, when we talked about our rights, those law enforcement would just be really brutal and coming down on us. They don't want to hear it because they want to believe, as she said, they suffer from fragility. They're fragile. White fragility. I call it European Caucasian fragility. Because they ain't white and we ain't black. You know, we Africans. They Europeans. They Caucasians. And they're fragile. They want to believe that what they have done was for humanity. That's why Raul Peck's documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes, is critical to watch and understand. Helps you understand the mentality of these people, of why they have done what they have done globally. Why? Well, he says it's three things that happen. There's civilization around the globe. When a people who, even though they may not have technology, even though they may have the best, but they live and they live peacefully with one another and peacefully with nature. And to come the European, and then they erase them, eliminate them. There are areas of the world where Europeans have actually committed genocide. I know we use that word, but there are real acts of genocide, the Akwa people in what is now the Dominican Republic and Haiti, totally wiped out. The Tasmanian people on the island of Tasmania, Trukanini, her people, totally wiped out. And believe me, if they could have wiped out of many others, they would have. They believe that they have manifest destiny. They believe through their God that they were blessed to go around the world, take everybody's stuff in the name of Spain, Portugal, England, France, Germany, you name it. I only got a few more minutes. So, yeah, I'm going to definitely play this particular piece on Friday. And maybe even more blessed if I can, if Chief Igumawali is, you know, available. But if not, that'll be another day, because I definitely want him. If you had seen any other proceedings, because I didn't get a chance to talk to him personally at the beginning of the Memorial March. He was in costume with the other Yoruba people, drumming and so forth. That was beautiful, you know. And so, you know, we touched, you know. But other than that, I definitely wanted to do that. But he's prominent in this particular piece. And he was prominent in the memorial commencement from yesterday morning. No, not yesterday morning. Monday morning, I believe it was. Not yesterday morning. Monday. Labor Day, I believe it's that. But anyway, so we only have a few more minutes, brothers and sisters. Let me get Jay back in here and see what he got to say, if anything. Brother Jay, good afternoon.
Yeah, Oshie. Thing is that when, you know, you talk about Tulsa and reparations and all of these things, it only really boils down to one thing. What are we as a people going to do to hold these white folks accountable. Because they always trying to make a new narrative of any and everything.
Yeah.
So in the process, the lies just manipulate to the point to where as people don't really know what is the truth and what not is right. the truth.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that we don't have things in place to put forward the proper narrative of what's going on. And until we get to that point, we're just going to be going back and forwards with these devils on what should happen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as sad as it is, truly reparations are deserved. And I'm adamant about reparations, because not to seek reparation, give reparation, does a dishonor and disservice to our ancestors who suffered tremendously, you know. So to not talk about reparation or seek reparations is ludicrous to me. And there are some of us who feel that way. Well, you know, we don't want to be more divisive. Forget about reparations. Just be fair now in employment. Be fair in education. Be fair. Bump that. We need reparations. But understand me as it relates to reparations. It is not about a check so you can go buy a car, okay, or buy some jewelry or have a good time.
But you have to be in a position to when you really ask for reparations, to demand for it to the point to where as there's consequences and repercussions
right.
if you don't get it.
Right.
And unfortunately, we haven't done that yet.
Right. You make a good point, Jay, because many groups get reparations when they are not after the incident happened, but years and decades down because they are stronger. Witness the Japanese. They dropped those bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, devastating Japan and Japanese people in concentration camps here. But hold on, let me finish, because I know our time is up. In fact, it's already up, Jay.
Well, let me just say this for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that when Japanese got their reparations, they had rebuilt from what happened in Nagasaki. And they was developing into a power to where as America had to give them reparations because of their relationship Japanese people had with Japan. So imagine if we had that relationship with Africa.
Right.
Then they would have to give us our reparations because if not, there would be consequences and repercussions.
And
hotel.
All right, brother. Thanks, Jay. Peace to you. Brother Kwaku, Baba Kwaku in Augusta. How you doing? Are you there?
I'm good, Baba. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, man. Thank you for listening, brother. Thank you for tuning in. I know I'm up already at 1 o'clock, man, but I'm glad that you listened. Also glad that you're going to with the organization down south.
So, right.
Yeah, but we'll talk more about that when that begins to transpire, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Baba Kwaku. Brothers and sisters, please, I hope you get a chance to listen Friday. I'll do this review. I definitely got some more good information on what happened. I'm going to talk about Russell Westbrook's contribution to the Tulsa massacre. And I hope you can join us and lend something to the conversation. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will Be victorious. Peace, family.